Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSH Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSH Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of men, women, and children affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSH Society Radio. Welcome, welcome one and all to the FSH Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here. I am your host, Tim, and I'm happy to be here on this December episode of the FSH Society. I guess Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all those great things for you. Hope you had a fantastic Christmas day yesterday, Christmas Eve, for all the celebrating going on. Maybe it's Happy Kwanzaa for you or Happy Hanukkah for you. Or happy holidays to cover it all. Glad you could take the time to be here. Join us the day after Christmas as we do our 2018 year roundup with our guest, June Kinoshita, tonight from the FSH Society. So excited to have her here. I think that's going to be awesome. A lot of information coming your way tonight from her. We're also going to dip in maybe to the year upcoming. That's 2019, right around the corner. And see what exactly is in store for the FSH Society there. And that could be exciting also. So a lot in store when it comes to what is happening. Where are your dollars going to, right? All that fundraising you're doing. All that stuff that you're sending our way, especially when we did the match over December. All that great dollars coming our way through the FSH Society to help find a cure for this disease. And where are we in that goal and so on. So this is a great opportunity for everybody involved to take the time to get on to this chat room tonight, pick up your phone, dial in tonight, text me to the show, email me. And how do you do all of that? Well, email, let's start there. FSHradiohost@gmail.com. That is a great email. It's FSHradiohost@gmail.com. Goes right to me. You can text me at 414-659-3392. That's during the show or any time after, honestly, or if you just want to talk, I can be that ear for you. You can do that. That's my direct line into the studio where I am right now. Dial into the studio line, which is 949-270-5953. That'll get you right on air live with me and June tonight. You can ask questions to us and what's going on there, and she'll be happy to help probably answer more of the questions than I could, but I can help facilitate. You can follow the show on Twitter at FSH Society and Facebook as well. That'll kind of get you in tune of when the episodes are coming and all the schedules and all that thing and all the other stuff going on at FSH Society is fshsociety.org. There's also a chat room to get into the show. That's only available during the live broadcast of the show. That is up right now. There is a guest 328 that's in. You can stay anonymous. That's awesome. If you'd like, you can do that. No problem. There's that capability as well. A lot of people like the chat room for that reason. It's anonymous. You can type in your questions. I will make sure I feed them off to June if it has to do with, you know, what we're talking about here. The year-end roundup, I think, is how she titled it. And I thought, what a great opportunity to do that. Our past episode last month was with Amanda Rickard. Check that show out. That was our November show. If you go back even farther, earlier November, we had one on November 1st. It was posted. It's available there. Skylar Conover. Awesome, awesome interview with her. And then we had Taylor Quigg in September. The August show was Kristen Duquette. I mean, we're talking some phenomenal guests over 2018. They're all available for you to listen on demand, on the go, all linked at fshsociety.org. We have our show page in there. And you can click on the shows or Blog Talk Radio, search FSH Society Radio, follow the show on Blog Talk Radio. I mean, there's all these ways to get in touch with me, the show, follow it. No excuses. We're all here. We can join together. Think of it as like a support group, so to speak, with the show. So super excited for tonight's episode. Got a lot of, hopefully a lot of stuff June's got in store. Got some questions myself. You know, I'm sure that some of you probably share with me that I want to know the answers to as well. As you know, 2018 was also a big push for the chapter groups. We'll talk about them as well. Maybe you have questions about that, wondering, is there a chapter group in your area? We'll talk on that. Also, too, coming up in January's episode, let's already start teasing that. We have an FSHer is coming on from the Chicago area. I met him at the Chicagoland group meetings a couple times. Awesome guy. He's funny, which is a huge help because I'm not. And so Ramsey Shahid will be on the show. However, it'll be a pre-recorded interview with him. He can't make it live on the show, so we'll do a recorded interview with him and share that with you on the live broadcast. But live call-in will be a great perspective from this woman, from a spouse of someone that has FSH, Brandy Witt. Her husband is Dave Lucas, who was on the show. Well, man, we'll have to look, right? He's the Chicago chapter leader, and he was on the, wow, that was way back in May. On the May episode, Dave joined us. So I wanted to get that perspective of a life partner, a spouse, somebody that's in the trenches with us, because I have FSH. It's almost as if my wife would come on. Maybe we can all talk her into coming on too. Maybe you want to know her perspective. I don't know. She's pretty shy. But I really wanted to, I met Brandy. Her personality really shines through, and she had an amazing part of the launch in the Chicagoland group meeting. So I'm really excited to have her on and have her share her perspective, her story. So a couple great guests on. One will be live, and the other will be a pre-recorded interview that we'll set up with Ramsey, and then we'll play that for you in January. So I'm excited to share all that with you then. I do have a couple story cores to play. I'm calling it FSH stories to share. I don't want to have any copyright issues with the NPR. I think that started Story Corps. But it is our FSH stories project. I've called to arms a lot of people to try to say, hey, you want to share your story with me? I can narrate it for you if you'd like. You want to type it with me, you know, type it to me. One of the stories is actually an anonymous story that I'm going to share that we created, and we will play that tonight. And the other is, as aforementioned, Dave Lucas. I've used his interview from the FSH radio show and turned that into a great FSH story. So we're going to share a couple of those today, probably later in the show as well. So that's a teaser. So that's how you stay tuned, right, when you hear all that. So I'll tell you what, why don't we take our first break? Let me catch my breath with all this awesome information I'm trying to throw at y'all. And we come back, we'll bring in our featured guest, June Kinoshita, has been on the show several times, and she's going to give us the what's going on in 2018, the roundup, and what's coming up in 2019. So why don't we take our first break? When we come back, we'll have her on. You're listening to the FSH Society Radio Show. You're listening to FSH Society Radio. Hey everyone, this is Tim, host of FSH Society Radio. And get this, in 2014, a Dutch team reported that aerobic exercise training and cognitive behavioral therapy decreased fatigue and improved the quality of life significantly for FSHD patients. This suggests a marked impact in slowing the degeneration of affected muscles. So I don't want to hear any excuses. You can get out there, get active, start exercising, and let's start fighting this thing. Hi, this is Tim again, and have you been recently diagnosed with FSHD and kind of trying to search for answers? I mean, there's so many questions. Where do you go? Well, go to FSHSociety.org. Join the FSH Society. Get educated, because knowledge is power. Get active. Connect with local members. Volunteer for research and donate, because without you, we can't fight this. go to fshsociety.org. Hey, welcome back to the FSH Society Radio Show, live here on our December episode. It's the 2018 Roundup. We're going to have our featured guest on in a moment. That's Jun Kinoshita from the FSH Society to share with us what was going on in 2018 with the FSH Society and what's coming up maybe in 2019. She has a lot of information, I think, to share with us. If you have questions, that's going to be kind of key today. This is really a great opportunity to have a little bit of one-on-one time with me and with Jun, asking some questions maybe you have about the fundraising and where's all that awesome money you're pumping our way so we can find a cure for this thing. And maybe some of the goals, directions. It's a great opportunity. I think that's the best way to say it. You can use the chat room on Blog Talk Radio. That's one way. You can call in if you'd like at 949-270-5953. And then follow those, you know, key points and hold if you want to be on air. You'll have to, I think, hit like one or something like that to talk with us. You can email me, fshradiohost@gmail.com. That's directly to me. And text me if you'd like. People love to do that. That's 414-659-3392. That last number I gave you is also a way to contact me after the show. If you want to talk about, I don't know, anything, your diagnosis, chew the fat a little bit, a shoulder to lean on, share a story. Maybe you'd like to bring your story to me and set up a time so we can do some FSH stories. Think of it as StoryCorps. It's been our project we've been trying to work on for the last couple months now. I have created two of them that we're going to share later on in this episode, and I'm excited to do that. But you got all the contact information. Get locked, get loaded, get ready, because we're going to bring in June right now. This is going to be our featured guest tonight. This is none other than June Kinoshita of the FSH Society. Hello, June. How are you?
Hi, Tim. I'm great. How are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you very much. I'm glad you could join us the day after Christmas. Are you all holidayed out yet?
I can't be because it goes on. I'm with family where, you know, things keep going right through New Year's. So.
Yeah. That's okay. But, that's okay. Yeah.
So, no, it's good. It's good.
So tell us a little bit about what you have in store for us tonight. I know you kind of titled it as a year-end roundup, kind of giving us a nice synopsis of maybe what was going on in 2018 and maybe even tease us of what's going to come up in 2019.
Yeah, no, I'm really, you know, I'm excited to do that because, you know, New Year's is coming up and it's always a good occasion to look back and think about where we were a year ago. And it's quite a dramatic difference between, you know, January 1, 2018 and December 31st, 2018. A year ago, we did not know that one and possibly two new drugs that can block DUX4 were about to go into clinical trials, or that we were that close. We did not know that a year ago, and we learned that this year, really around the time of the FFHD International Research Conference and FFHD Connect Conference in June in Las Vegas, when we had a panel of people from all of the drug companies that are working on FFHD therapeutics, and two companies that needed just about all the work that needs to be done before you go to the FDA and say, can we begin human clinical trials? And they told us that at that Las Vegas meeting, and that just blew me away. We later found out that a major pharma is also in the space. They've been going quietly about it, and they have completed what they call this preclinical phase. So that was just really dramatic news. We knew that this was coming. We didn't realize it was going to come so fast. We thought maybe it was 2 years away, not, you know, 1 year away. And it also really lit a fire under us, because the thing that is slowing all of this down right now is not that the drugs aren't there, that they, you know, tested in cells, tested in animals, they look safe and et cetera, all those things. That's all done. What's not quite ready is the methods, the tools that these companies need to be able to show that their drug is effective in a group of FSHD patients. So, work, yes, go ahead.
I was going to ask, because I can only imagine now someone that just hears that, what are those tools that they're short of? And, you know, is there a way we can help, get those tools?
Absolutely. Well, there's no way we can get them without the help of everybody out there who's affected by FSHD. That is the bottom line. So I wanted to give some examples of this. So FSHD is challenging because it, as you all know, if you're affected by this, it differs a lot from one person to another, and it's unpredictable. So you don't know when you're going to lose some strength. And then, you know, so you might have a short period of time in which you suddenly lose strength in your bicep, let's say. And then it kind of plateaus, and you might feel like nothing changes for, it could be years before something else happens. So it's unpredictable, and it generally seems to be, you know, slowly progressing in kind of a big picture way. And a drug company can't wait 10 years to see if their drug works. They have usually a window of like 6 to 12 months to say, you know, we started time equals zero. We gave people our drug 6 months later or 12 months later. We need to be able to figure out if this drug has helped them or not. And if without the drug, if you were just going to be on an even plane, you're not going to know, right? because you're not going to change, you know, whether you took it or not. Mm-hmm. There's no signal. But if you took a bunch of people, you took 20 people, 50 people, and, maybe some of them will change. Well, you know, is that, you know, well, how many, you know, what percentage, by how much? And then if you then gave the drug to this group of 50 people, you know, how would that change? It's not an obvious or easy thing to solve. The only way you can really figure it out is to study big groups of people, use a whole bunch of different ways of measuring strength and imaging muscles, maybe drawing blood and seeing if there's something there that you can see. Just want to think of every possible way that you can measure change in a group of people who have FSHD, and out of all that data, see if there's something that is a strong, you know, a reliable indicator of somebody, progressing in their disease. Their symptoms are getting worse. Maybe your strength is the same, but the muscle, if you look on an MRI, you can see that it's becoming more filled with fat and scar tissue, let's say. You know, and if you waited long enough, that muscle would be weaker. But in the 6 to 12 month period, it might not get weaker, but you could still see it on an MRI. These are hypothetical. Right. But not completely hypothetical. We have data suggesting that this could be the case, but it's not ironclad. It hasn't been proven over a large enough group of patients. That is actually the work that is now going on at our Clinical Trial Research Network. So this is the 7, now 8 centers that have worked together to become like a center without walls, so they can study patients in a standardized way. They're following the same study design, and now they are trying to recruit 150 patients across these seven sites to follow them over a period of several years and measuring every, you know, all kinds of ways, upper body strength, lower body strength, you know, imaging, drawing blood. And so this is the most important study or most important type of study going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And without the study, we can't get these other drugs, these drugs that are being developed, can't get out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
So we need people to really step up and try to volunteer themselves for clinical trials. I mean, is that really what we're asking?
Yes. And volunteer themselves even before we get mm-hmm. to the clinical trials where you actually
okay.
start to get this drug. We mm-hmm. need people to volunteer for these what we call clinical trial readiness or clinical trial preparedness studies. And the one I just described is called the RESOLVE study. We have it, you know, listed on our website, and it's in clinicaltrials.gov. That is the study that we need people to sign up for as fast as possible. And it's not a, you know, it asks a lot of you. It takes a couple days
mm-hmm.
to go, you know, go to University of Kansas or
right.
Rochester or, you know, Kennedy Creek or one of these centers
mm-hmm.
and go through all of the different tests that they're looking at. But it's a simple arithmetic. The more people sign up and get enrolled in the study, the faster they sign up, the faster we can complete this and provide the drug companies with the tools they need to start testing their drugs.
Mm-hmm.
That makes
it
sense.
It does. Yeah. Because I think that's, I mean, I'm just trying to always think of, you know, the listener's shoes, you know, well, what does that mean to me? You know, what do you need me to do if they're so inclined or so brave or courageous to say, I'll raise my hand to do that. I'll volunteer to do that. For those that either are skittish about doing that kind of volunteer help, getting themselves involved that way. Is there another tool that is needed that perhaps they could help out with?
Well, you know, so this is a family, you know, a familial
mm-hmm.
disease. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, of course, some people are the first in their family ever to have it. There's
right.
the de novos, but the majority of people have FSHD. Have family members who have FSHD as well, both younger and older. And, you know, you may, for various personal reasons or, you know, your where you live, the kind of work you do, whatever your age disqualifies you from taking part in one of these studies, but maybe a family member would qualify. And maybe they haven't been paying as much attention, you know, that so... You know, talk to people in your family who might, you know, be eligible and might be able to take part. I think every one of us needs to do what we can, you know, to help move all this forward. The other
Absolutely.
Way, you know, is to get involved with the chapter. We're starting chapters all over the U.S. And by the way, congratulations, Tim. You've made the cut, and you're now director of the Greater Milwaukee chapter. That's a big deal, and you know, we're so grateful to you for stepping forward, not only doing the radio show, but now saying let's, you know, get a Greater Milwaukee chapter going.
Absolutely,
and that's important because that is the most important way we have to connect directly with patients and families across the country. It's by having that local presence, having someone there, you know, in the greater Milwaukee area, thinking there's nobody else they'll ever meet with FSHD, suddenly finding out, wow, there's a chapter, they can start meeting people, and might start small, might be a handful of people show up at the first meeting,
right.
but over time, you know, word gets out, and then you can let other people know about what's going on and why it's important, and how to, you know, call me, and I can connect you to... You know, the person who's, you know, running this study or that study or, you know, so So getting involved with chapters is an incredibly important thing that people can do. And then, you know, it's that time of year donating, fundraising. This all
yes.
of this takes money. We have about, I'm going to say, about $300,000 we still have to raise by December 31st. So every donation matters.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
big and small. Just don't think someone else can take, you know, do it for you. You know, everybody, every participant, everyone counts. It's so important.
Yeah, you're right. It is that time of year, I think, when people have thought about that, where, you know, what do you give your family member for, if it's a Christmas gift or that New Year's resolution? And I always say, well, just like I told my family, I don't want anything. Just give to the FSH Society. That would be a gift that shares to everybody. So I was always like directing people that way. I even had young baseball players that I coach. At the end of the year, they always like to give a coach a thank you. And I'd say, you know, I love the thank yous and I don't expect them. And I was very pleasantly surprised where about half the team donated money to the FSH Society. So to me, that it is the networking. It is the connections. It's letting people know that this exists, that this is a struggle for a lot of people to deal with, some more than others, and that a cure is attainable. It is reachable. It sounds like when you said that during these conferences that these two pharmaceutical companies, right, you were very surprised how far they have gotten. Would you have counted that as probably your biggest surprise of 2018 for the FSH Society?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
That was the biggest surprise. And then the second following closely behind that is that some big pharma companies have been active quietly, and new companies are calling us almost every week, you know, not with a program yet, but saying, hey, we think we might have something that could be applied to FSHD, and we want to know more about this disease that, you know, they hadn't even heard about, wasn't on their radar a year ago.
Wow. That is phenomenal to have that kind of connection with these companies that are, just sounds like they're working hard. And it sounds like they're really connecting well with other companies. Hasn't that been a problem in the past where one pharmaceutical company might have something working, but another doesn't know, almost like that they're working in silos?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's generally the case, is they do work in silos. Mm-hmm. But one of our important tasks as FSH Society is to break down those silos and say, hey, all your companies, you know, you all have this problem in common, this challenge that we all need to work together to overcome. And you might be sitting there as a company saying, we can't do this by ourselves. It's going to cost too much. It's going to take too long. But if you joined with other companies around solving these problems, and we call these pre-competitive projects, because they're not working together on a drug, because that's obviously the intellectual property of the company. That's how they're going to eventually get something on the market and make back all their investment and make a profit and all those things that you do as a drug company.
Sure.
But pre-competitive things are things that the company cannot directly make money off of, but they need these tools in order to be able to have a successful drug. So they can go to their board and say, look, if we put in X amount and our competitor also is going to put in this amount, you know, we can justify this because we all need these tools. So that's kind of the pitch that we're making. We're bringing these companies together to say, here are the things, pre-competitive projects that if we all just got together and worked on them, we would all benefit. We would all move forward faster, and, you know, you'll all be able to get your drugs into clinical trials faster. So that's the kind of thing we're really focused on right now.
another big surprise too seemed to be how forceful those chapter groups started to form. Like, they came with such a force. They were popping up. It felt like they were being created quickly, being organized quickly. Would you say that was something that kind of boomed up in 2018?
Absolutely. So a year ago, we weren't even, you know, I guess the idea of chapters was just a little gleam in the eye, like, we're going to do this. And let's, you know, if we can get 5 chapters up and running by the end of the year, that would be a great start. And, you know, Beth Johnston this was her area of, you know, her challenge that she took on. And
right. We
couldn't believe how many people raised their hand and said, I would like to direct a chapter. And we now have 17.
Wow.
And so that was a big, wonderful, wonderful surprise. And I think, you know, not one thing to really point out is none of this happened in a vacuum. You know, none of this happened just
right. Kind
of out of the blue. All of it, I think the reason it all happened and started to just crystallize so quickly was the years and years of work leading up to this, to kind of prepare the world, prepare the environment to have to be ready for this. So, you know, we've had support groups meeting, you know, over the past 5 years, you know, bit by bit, adding support groups in different parts of the country. So people started to meet and get to know each other. And I started to think, oh, this is a person who could be a leader locally. And for people to feel like, oh, we know the society. And when they ask the chapter directors, we know who they are and we're comfortable volunteering, you know, because you wouldn't do that if it was an organization that just, you know, popped up out of the blue, had no idea what they did,
right,
who the people were. And you just, you know, so it's those years of just doing what we do and building relationships and getting people to know what we do. And, you know, and I think we pride ourselves in just, you know, just taking good care of our community, you know, just,
right.
You know, we're part of the community. It's not an us versus it. We feel like we're part of a family. And I think, you know, when people realize that, then, you know, they act like family. They step up when we need help, you know, and we're so grateful to them for that.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with you there. I think when I was at the official launch of the Chicago chapter, which gave me a lot of inspiration to kind of do that in my community here in Milwaukee. But when I saw Beth Johnston come, you yourself were there, Mark Stone was there. It did feel like that. It felt like your extended family came and they had your back and they were there to support, that you weren't alone. And that there was a big backing, a big, strong, you know, backbone, you know, when you three came in force that day. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what are those moments like when, you know, from your perspective, perhaps, when you're walking into an event for the FSH Society, and maybe on your, you know, left side, you have Mark Stone walking in with you and you have Beth Johnston on your other side. I mean, what does that energy feel like, the way that plays out in your minds, even emotionally or even professionally, you know, knowing, like, it almost feels, like I said, like you guys are really bringing in just like this 1-2-3 punch, you know, of just massive support.
Well, yeah, it is an amazing feeling. I mean, I just feel blessed to be working as part of such a dedicated, a powerful team. I mean, every person just contributes so much in terms of idea and strategy and just following through. You know, we're all working together towards this vision, And so that's an amazing feeling. But I have to say, just as amazing to me is when we walk into a room like we did in Chicago, and you see Dave Lucas there, who had stepped forward to be chapter director. And I remember my first, you know, call with him several years ago and seeing him writing and posting on Facebook and thinking, like, here's an extraordinary person who really wants to make a difference. You know, I've got to meet him. You know, I called him up. I was getting a support group going. And then the feeling of, like, okay, we finally, like, figure out what gears we need to set up so he can really, like, mesh and we can really work together to move things together at a whole nother level. That was, It was just an amazing feeling to see him rise to that occasion and give an amazing presentation there. And to see his wife, Brandy, who's equally amazing, you know, I mean,
oh my gosh.
They're a
yeah.
total twofer. Oh my God. And see them just step up and ignite that room, you know, because that's what's going to make this whole chapter movement take off. It's not what Mark and Beth and I do from course. It's what people like Dave do out in the field. It's like what people like you do out in the field, you know. And it was like literally seeing like the flame light, you know, Dave is like on fire and then you're like, you're catching on fire. That's the most amazing thing.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was contagious, the energy there. In fact, yeah, we're going to have Brandy on in the January show here on the FSH Society radio show to kind of get that perspective from a spouse or a life partner, a family member, you know, not necessarily someone that has the disease, but is living right alongside with someone that does. And I don't think we've had that perspective yet. I thought you would be a great person to kind of bring that to us. We'll do that next month. Now, we've talked a lot
Absolutely.
About, you know, what's going on in 2018 or what has been going on. What are kind of some of the hopes and maybe goals of 2019?
Well, for 2019, you know, we want to see scaling up of these studies that are going on right now, these preclinical, yeah. you know, these clinical trial readiness studies. So, you know, I really would love to make sure the RESOLVE study that, you know, they meet their goals in terms of the number of volunteers. There are a couple of other smaller studies that are equally important. They're much more targeted, so we've been only communicating with the areas where the studies are going on. But, you know, when people get emails from us about a study calling for volunteers, I want people to understand how important those are. And, again, literally the time it takes to sign up volunteers is, you know, the faster that goes, the faster the whole drug development process will go. So this is not a time to procrastinate. This is a time to read your emails and get on the phone, make those appointments. It really matters. I would love to see those our efforts there gain greater and greater traction. We are learning a lot as we do this too about how to communicate effectively with our members, how to motivate people, how to anticipate anything that might give somebody hesitation or pause so that we can reassure them and we can become better at educating and communicating about these studies. So, you know, people listening out there, if you have any feedback to give me about these recruitment emails that we're sending out, like, hey, you know, I didn't get this, or this thing kind of made me hesitate, or this is why I didn't respond. All that kind of information is so valuable. We're here, I'm here to learn and keep improving. So that's one thing. The other, you know, and we want to, you know, add more chapters to the chapter program.
Sure.
So, you know, we hope there are people out there listening, wondering, like, you know, hey, you know, I'm thinking, you know, maybe it's something I do, and I could do. And I want you to know that, you know, to not be intimidated. I mean, this is, it's a responsibility. It's a powerful mm-hmm. position, but it's something that, that the society gives a tremendous amount of support to, a lot of hand-holding, a lot of training. You know, there's a playbook. Here's how to become an effective chapter director. So we want people out there who are thinking about this to know that there's, you know, there's a whole program behind it to help you become a successful chapter director.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to see more chapters. We have a meeting planned with the Food and Drug Administration in March, and with many of the companies that are developing FSHD therapeutics. This is a really important meeting that, you know, we've known for years is something, you know, it's a milestone when we get there. Now it's upon us. It's really to meet with the FDA
right.
to make sure they understand what is FSHD, what's the unmet medical need. Are there patients out there who want a therapy? You know, we know, you know, we in the community know people want a therapy, but FDA doesn't know that. So we need to get them to understand that there's an urgency, that there are patients who really need and will benefit from having therapies developed. And then, and that there are companies developing them, and there are tools, the kind of tools I talked about to measure whether a drug is working or not, that we're working on these, and we need to do it in close consultation with the FDA so that by the time a company comes to them with a full packet, here's our clinical trial data results, and here's why we did this way and that way, that they will understand, you know, and how the whole study was put together, and that the study itself will have been designed with input and guidance from the FDA. So that process begins this March with this meeting we're
wow.
having with the FDA. So that is a big, big thing going on in 2019. We have our first international research conference outside of the U.S. So it's been called an international
wow.
conference, and it's drawn scientists from all over the world, but it has always been held in the U.S. But now it's time to make the leap across the Atlantic Ocean. We're having this meeting in France because I'd say more than half of the best FSHD researchers in the world are in Europe. And they have, they work with doctors. They have younger, you know, students and trainees who can't afford to come to the U.S. for these conferences. So we thought, you know, it's, you know, past time to bring it over there, and maybe every other year, you know, go back and forth, having it in the U.S.
Right.
1 year, having it in Europe another year. Yeah, and we are, so we are really literally going international. And
wow.
the day before that meeting starts, we're meeting with an alliance, a coalition of international patient advocacy organizations to see if we can kind of bring them together to operate kind of as a, you know, to have FSH Society really serve them as a global community, like, you know, make use of our database and be, you know, because we already have people from all over the world. And now
right.
I it's really bringing the chapter idea international, you know, that we have a French organization that we work with that is,
wow.
providing support and education for French patients. And we have one in Germany, we have one in the UK, one in Italy, et cetera, et cetera. So that is a big development that we hope to push forward in 2019 as well.
It sounds like you guys got a lot going on out of just those three major milestone events happening in 2019, especially the FDA meeting in March. That's coming up really fast.
Yeah, it is. We have weekly meetings. You know, a lot of preparation going into that. But it's exciting.
Wow.
It's amazingly energizing for me every day to go, like, God, we've reached this stage. We've reached this stage, and now, you know, we just have to work extra hard to keep it going.
Wow.
Amazing. Amazing. What is
going to be the next, I know that FSH Society has, you know, family conferences and things like that. Is there anything like that scheduled coming up in 2019 that you're aware of that you can share yet with us, or is that still in the works?
No. I can definitely share some of that with you. So we are planning a family day conference in 6 locations in 2019. So the first will be at the end of February in Miami. It's the first meeting like this we've had in Florida. And we have a lot of patients, a lot of families there. So, I think it's February 23rd. Then April 28th, we have one in the San Francisco Bay Area. It'll be hosted at Stanford University Medical Center. And then we hope to have something in the sort of Pacific Northwest in the summer. That's still being planned. And then we're looking at New York City in September. I think I got that right. Or Chicago.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm not going to match cities to dates yet because they're still floating. But we're planning New York City,
still in the works.
Chicago, and Dallas, Texas. Those are the.
Nice. Okay.
So that's our. Those are our 6: Miami, San Francisco Bay Area, Pacific Northwest, New York City, Chicago, and Dallas.
Wow, a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome, and I know that. Those that want to sign up to be a chapter director, is there time if they would do that quickly? I know we were having a meeting in Chicago at the end of January with the directors of those chapter groups. I know I'm invited to that and planning on attending in Chicago at the end. So, is that something that if people?
Absolutely. So if people are thinking about, if they've been sitting on this idea and saying, you know, I really should do this, act quickly, because if you, you know, it takes a little while to go through the whole interview vetting process to become a chapter director. And it would be awesome if you did it so that you could participate in this leadership summit at the end of January. I mean, we're already talking, it's only a month away from... but that's an in-person meeting. We get to meet with other chapter directors and fundraising leaders from across the country for like a, you know, 2-day, you know, extravaganza of, you know, networking and training. And, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. So, and that happens every year. So if you don't get to this, the one in just January, don't drag your heels. You still... get going, you know, and there'll be another chance in a year to meet all your, you know, your colleagues, your fellow directors. So,
yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to that one. Is there anything else you want to finish your segment up with, June? Anything that maybe I missed?
No, I think I've laid out enough. I think we have quite a lot on our plate. We are, you know, I just want to say I'm just grateful to you. I'm grateful to everybody out there who has stepped forward to help as a, you know, in any way, volunteer, chapter activity, you know, walk and roll fundraisers. You know, even just calling me to tell me they found an amazing physical therapist and we'll put them on our database. Any way that
nice.
You can add, you know, your energy, your knowledge, your support at all, you know, we really feel it and we really appreciate it. And I'm excited actually to hear that you have a podcast that you're going to be sharing with us. That'll be a surprise to me.
Yeah. I just kind of threw together, did a lot of hard work over the last several days, especially on ironing out some of these FSH stories, and I wanted to share them. I guess their debut today. I think they are a simple form of it all, but I think that's what I hope comes across is, a beauty to it, that these are simple stories shared by everyday people that have this disease, and one of which I was very honored to narrate because the person wanted to stay anonymous, so. I'm excited to share that too. So, yeah. And you know what, June, we all really think, we all thank you guys very, very much for all you do at the FSH Society. The hard work, the long hours, I'm sure, the heavy travel, sacrificing things, you know, maybe it's time with your family to attend an FSH Society event. To me, it doesn't go unnoticed, all the hard work that you put into it, your heart and your soul. So we appreciate it very, very much. I don't know if I can even express it, you know, deeply enough how much it is appreciated.
Oh, well, we thank you for that. And I feel just blessed every day to be able to do what I do. You know, it is hard work, but it's all so worth it. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Thanks, June, for joining us. We'll maybe we will hear you on the January episode. Maybe you'll pop in with some more news and notes to share with us then.
Sure. Happy to do that.
All right. Take care, June.
Okay. Thank you. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that is June Kinoshita, FSH Society, representing it very well there. A lot of information. I warned you. I told you, if you were taking feverish notes, perhaps, it's okay if you missed something. You can listen to the show immediately after it's live airing. It's on-demand listening right there, fshsociety.org. If you have any follow-up comments, questions, you can do that for me if you'd like. Let me share that contact information before we take a break and we come back. We'll close up shop with some of those FSH stories. But if, in the meanwhile, if you wanted to send me a text at 414-659-3392 or an email, fshradiohost@gmail.com, use the chat room on Blog Talk Radio, or there might even be a quick time to take you in a live call studio here at the 949-270-5953 number. Why don't we take a quick break here? When we come back, I'll introduce you to some of these debuts of the two FSH stories that I'd love to share with you. You're listening to the FSH Society Radio Show.
FSHD is one of the most common forms of muscular dystrophy. It's a degenerative disease that weakens muscles in the face, shoulders, upper back, and legs. FSHD robs you of your smile and makes simple tasks nearly impossible to perform. FSHD affects hundreds of thousands of people, but most have never met another patient. Many have not even been diagnosed. Someone you know may be living with FSHD. Let them know they are not alone, and that we're making real advances toward a treatment. You can help by going to our website, fshsociety.org/cureFSHD, and share the photos and facts about the disease using the hashtag CureFSHD. By simply raising awareness, you could change someone's life and help us get closer to a cure.
FSH Society Radio Show. I'm your host, Tim, and we just had our featured guest on for a kind of 2018 roundup of the FSH Society and what's coming up in 2019 with June Kinoshita of the FSH Society. Awesome guest, as always. He's phenomenal and had so much information. I warned you all that she was going to be bringing you a lot of information. So still time to be a chapter director if you'd like, if you're on the fence, not sure. You get to meet me and Dave Lucas and Beth Johnson, all these awesome people of the FSH Society when they have their big, what is it called, Leadership Summit. I love the title of that in Chicago at the end of this or end of January. That's coming up. Great things. FDA meeting coming up in March in 2019. International Research Conference worldwide. Oh, so much going on. Before I play the a couple FSH stories that I've been working on and I wanted to share with you tonight, being their debut, excited to do that. There's a couple things I wanted to share coming up here in January, though, yet, through FSH Society. One, selfishly here, it's the Greater Milwaukee Chapter meeting. I guess it's the chapter launch. I'll be having that as I'm the chapter director in my own city here in New Berlin, a public library, which is a suburb of Milwaukee. So if you're in the stone's throw of Milwaukee, you can find New Berlin very easily, about 15 minutes outside of Milwaukee. It'll be at the New Berlin Public Library, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. We'll have some beverages, coffee, whatnot, things to snack on, things to chat about, I'm sure I will have for you. And just kind of a more of a meet and greet. So I'm excited for that. That's January 12th, so join me. January 19th, Dallas, Fort Worth members meeting, Muscle Activation Fitness at it's in Plano, Texas. That's where that'll be, Saturday, January 19th from 2 to 4 p.m. Excited for that. Yeah, so those are the two things going on in January. If you want to know more of what's going on beyond that, as in February, March, et cetera, go to fshsociety.org. So let me play the first of what I've created for the FSH stories. This was emailed in, and it's a simple story that this person wanted to share, but wanted to be anonymous, so I took the liberty of narrating it and sharing it with all of you. This is our first FSH story. This is FSH Stories. Music by Bonavir. Visit fshsociety.org. This FSH story comes to us from a person that would like to remain anonymous. This is their story. I'm 77. My mom died at 97. She was never diagnosed with the disease, but my mom had many of the symptoms I have, and I am pretty sure many of her symptoms were caused by FSHD. After 5 years of running around from doctor to doctor and hospital to hospital and being diagnosed with everything from dystonia to polymyositis, I was finally diagnosed correctly in 2010 by the neurologist at Johns Hopkins. A DNA test confirmed this diagnosis. So you might want to mention on one of your upcoming broadcasts or stories that even though I went to several major medical centers in New York City and Philadelphia because my symptoms were not common to FSHD, I was only correctly diagnosed at Johns Hopkins. See, weakness in my paraspinal muscles was my main problem. Like many others sharing their story on the FSH Society radio show, my husband and I have never told anyone about my diagnosis. Since there is no treatment or cure, we thought it would be too hard for them. We thought if we told our three grown children and six grandchildren, they would constantly be worried they would also have FSHD. Since we are close to all of them and see them regularly, we feel we would know if they were having physical symptoms that might be caused by FSHD. And at that time, we would rethink our decision not to tell them. I'm sharing this with you to thank you for your broadcast and to thank the Society for all the work that they do. Sincerely, a not very brave FSHD patient. So that more or less is our first FSH story. Our next one is, I guess it was inspired for me to kind of put together some of the interview clips that I had from Dave Lucas's story. And I'll do this, I think, with others that have been on the show and kind of put it more in an FSH style. There's other people I know that want to share their story as well. And we can set time up for you if you'd like to share yours. We can pre-record it. I can narrate it like I just did this past one. So here's the next one. This is the next FSH story. This is FSH Stories with music by Bonavir. Visit fshsociety.org. This is Dave's story.
The Chicagoland area, so the northwest suburbs out in Crystal Lake. But as far as my story towards a diagnosis with FSHD, about 3 years ago, I was 36 years old and had kind of had a my wife, who was my fiance at the time, were kind of, you know, noticing some, you know, I took my shirt off weird and I couldn't reach things up really high, and you know, my scapula's winged out a lot, so it was kind of that's not right, and I wonder what's going on. And in hindsight, looking back, I think I remember seeing pictures of myself in mid-20s, you know, with not being able to raise my arms completely over my head, but really noticed it, you know, in my mid-30s. And we left her office, and you know, she said, you know, you have FSHD. We need to confirm with a genetic diagnosis, but I'm, you know, 99% sure this is what you have. And I honestly, I don't remember what I was thinking, but I do remember kind of leaving her office in this like mental fog and getting into my car and just sobbing and kind of just the overwhelming emotion of, you know, what does my future look like? And what's this going to mean? Am I going to die early? Am I going to be in a wheelchair? What, you know, can I not, you know, walk my daughters down the aisle, like, you know, what are, you know, so he starts playing all these worst case scenarios of, you know, what the disease is, and because I didn't know what it was, you know, so there was that moment of overwhelming, but then certainly then the next stage kicked in of just trying to learn, okay, what is this, and, you know, what can I learn about it, because, you know, I didn't know anything, so, you know, definitely very overwhelmed and definitely emotional and kind of a lot of worst case scenarios, but kind of coming out of the rawness of the news, was able to get informed and educated and, you know, kind of wrap my head around what the disease is, what it isn't, and, you know, kind of start building up from there. My wife rolled with it pretty well, and she's also wired in that, you know, let's be a detective and get answers and figure out what this is and, you know, get educated on it. So, you know, we both fed that within each other of trying to learn more, to get educated so that we could be an advocate for me, and then sharing it with, you know, my siblings and my parents, was kind of just a lot of shock, you know. So we know generally what muscular dystrophy is, and a lot of people know at least conceptually what that is, but okay, how does that affect the same? How is it different? Physically, the disease has really just affected my shoulders. So, you know, I'm still walking, I can still run, you know, but it definitely affects, you know, just really my shoulders. So, there's not that you look at me and think there's something not right. I felt lost, you know, when I got my diagnosis. I didn't, you know, I knew the society was there, but I didn't know what else was out there. And so I, you know, there's that, you know, piece of wanting to connect and try to help, you know, everybody's, in my experience, everybody with this disease is affected differently. And there's no, you know, there's no script on how this thing goes for anybody. And, but that doesn't mean, you know, we can't, again, have that shared power of community and connection to talk about what this disease is, what it isn't, and kind of what we learned. You know, but if they don't reach out to me, reach out to somebody else, you know, with, you know, whether it's the society itself. I mean, everybody I've dealt with there is absolutely phenomenal. And has the, you know, power to connect other people to them. Because I think that's the biggest piece, is to not stay in isolation, you know, to kind of reach out and just connect with one person. It's not about connecting with 100 or 1,000, because that's overwhelming. Start with one and go from there.
So that's our second FSH story. That was Dave Lucas, and kind of took that interview I had with them on the FSH Society radio show and turn that into an FSH story. And those are the things I'd like to create for you if you'd like. So reach out to me. Like I said, my best number to reach me at is directly to me, and that's 414-659-3392. You can do that, and we can set up a time if you want to share your story. I can narrate it for you if you'd like, or if it's something we can want to record in your own words, that would be just as powerful. Actually, it'd be more powerful. So hope that if you'd like to do that, I'd love to help you facilitate it. So those are our FSH stories, and I hope more is to come. I want to thank my featured guest tonight, June Kinoshita. Awesome to have her on and share all the great things that's going on in the FSH society world. Big, big things happened in 2018. I have a funny feeling huge things are coming in 2019. So I wish you all a happy, safe new year with your friends, your family, or if you lay low and just want to watch a movie by yourself, I wish you the best in that as well. May the new year bring great things. May it bring a fast cure to us all. Take care. We'll see you next month on the FSH Society Radio Show. Good night.